KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect on this Thursday afternoon in Albuquerque. Chip Lusko pinch hitting for Jim Williams today, and glad to be here. We've had a great time with Pastor Al Pippen up in Colorado, Jenny Lusko in Montana, and now being joined by a good friend and a familiar voice and face to our friends and family here in Albuquerque, the host of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Jack, welcome.
Hey, Chip, thank you. Just an honor to be with you today.
Yeah, well, you've got your hands full out there. Jack, if you don't know, folks, in addition to being the voice of Real Radio, is pastor of Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills. And, Jack, that puts you in Los Angeles County, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a great question or a great comment. Our church literally sits on the border of San Bernardino County, Riverside County, Orange County, and L.A. County. It's all in one spot. So, yes, I can say that regarding L.A., certainly.
Well, do you get to choose? I mean, given a choice, I might go with Orange County.
You know, it's amazing. We're so blessed here. I don't want to say this too loud because it sounds like I might be boasting, but literally where we're at, we're sitting on where freeways intersect. And so a vast majority of those who attend our church come from North Orange County. And so the Chino Hills community is really a bedroom community of North Orange County. But the scope, we get to enjoy the politics of San Bernardino County, which is one of the most conservative counties in all of America. It's unknown to many people. So what that means is we have incredible religious freedoms. Christmas time here is all about Jesus throughout the entire town. And the Bible is celebrated. We have every school's got a Christian club, and it's pretty remarkable, almost like a Mayberry feel, and yet we are so, by God's grace, so strategically positioned to reach these counties. So we have mayors, police chiefs, we have captains, and all coming from these various counties who attend the church. So we're spoiled here.
Well, I've been to your church, and it's a great, great facility, great location. What's been the best, personally now, we'll talk pastorally in a moment, but the best and the hardest part of lockdown for you, Jack?
Hardest thing for me, hands down, no doubt about it, is the face of the people. Look, all of us have discovered that we can preach and teach into a black room with a camera. And that's fine, and God's using it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, we went from 50,000 viewers on a Sunday to multiple hundreds of thousands now on a Sunday. That's fantastic. I hate it. I'm a pastor. The toughest thing is I can't wait to see faces when I'm teaching. I can't wait for that. So the upside is the reach. Of course, it's the reach of the gospel, of the word. The upside is our staff's had a time to reunite and reconnect with each other. And so there's pros and cons. There's benefits and challenges. Of course, the Lord's over it all. And we already know, that he's redeeming this entire situation for his glory. And we're just so excited about that.
So very true. We are created as social creatures. It's not good for man to be alone. And, you know, I've been in more Zoom and Google Hangout and Team Viewers. And I fell asleep in one the other day. And
I don't blame you. I'm with you.
Fortunately, I was audio only. But, you know, we're meant to be together. In fact, today I came to one of my first major meeting days on campus here at Calvary. And I almost came in my pajamas and bunny slippers. But, you know, a little socially awkward after 2 months of isolation.
That would have killed the Internet, man. Your social media would have lit up on that one.
Yeah. But I was thinking, we are so very fortunate to be at such a time as this when we didn't have the Internet. I mean, you can remember, you know, this wouldn't have been possible even 20 years ago, you know, when we were doing AOL, you know, dial-up and stuff like that.
Boy, I tell you what, Chip, your words are powerful to us because we had been in a structural infrastructure remodel at our church, and it was about a year long, and most of the expense was directed toward invisible things, meaning it prepared us for TV. It prepared us for greater technology reach. And I got to tell you, oh, me of little faith, I kept thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, what is this discombobulator thing, the XYZ, you know, thing? Really? We need that? Oh, my goodness, Chip. When this remodel got done, 3 months later, this COVID craziness hit, and the church, by God's grace, was dramatically positioned to just roll right into it. And so God's goodness, you know, he went before us. Listen, church, he always goes before us on everything. We need to remember that. There's nothing that escapes him. He's never caught off guard. Jesus is never on his heels trying to figure out, you know, what's happening. He's got this. Our problem is we need to let, you know, our foot off the pedal and follow him. And he's so good. You know, we're just rejoicing right now over his leadership.
Absolutely. And we should be grateful we have a digital version of the Roman Road today that we can resort sure. to at a time. You know, much of the church today, as you well know, in Saudi Arabia and much of the areas hostile to the gospel, they aren't allowed to use the internet, and they have to adapt otherwise.
Well, that's fantastic. I was in a call last night regarding the underground church in a country I'm not going to mention, and it dawned on me, oh my goodness, you know, we've been sequestered and, quote, unable to meet, close quote, and people are debating the morality of this. And what does the church do? Where's Romans 13? Do we disobey the government or not? And all this drama, I get it, all this dialogue's going on, and this meeting last night, Chip, was about the ministries that we're involved in the underground church in China and North Korea. And, you know, every time they meet, they won't stop meeting. And when they meet under the threat of being killed, and yet they gather. And I was so convicted by their passion to meet, even on the pains of death possibly being upon them. So, boy, I tell you, I just kind of wiped up my nose and stopped my whining and right. just thanked God for the freedoms that we do have.
Yeah, I, like you, do a good bit of work in the mission field in Uganda and India. And when I hear what they're going through in those countries, I mean, we've got first world lockdown here. You know, we're upset if our Uber Eats comes late delivering our pizza, you know. But we've had issues, but we definitely have first world issues.
Absolutely.
So tell us, Jack, you're in the forefront in California of a movement. I'm not sure if you instigated it, but I believe you're part of it, called Not Asking for Permission. And tell us some background and your perspective on that.
Yeah, the Not Asking for Permission, that is a group that, I mean, I'm loosely affiliated with that. However, it came out of this spiritual evolution, and I'll put it to you this way. I've written all this down, and that is, like you, like I think every Christian leader, and as soon as this thing happened, you can remember the President Trump came out and asked everybody to give the nation 15 days to shut down, 15 days. And then he came back, remember that, at the end of 15 days, and he goes, I need 15 more days. So where we learned the term, Chip, to flatten the curve from this. Well, after the 30 days, President Trump yielded to governor or state authority. And he handed that governance over to the states. So our governor said, okay, we're not only going to be shut down, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And we, like I think every state, every pastor, began to ask the governor, where does the church land? When are you going to consider the church? And our particular governor refused to answer that question. He just would dodge it. He would answer other issues, Walmart, Costco, theaters, but not the church. And so we found out from the governor's office that our governor was going to announce that the church, he will reconsider the church meeting in 4 to 6 months from now. Well, 4 to 6 months wow. from now, which was about 4 weeks ago, Chip, places us right back in the middle of the next flu season. And so I prayed, I fasted, I sought God, I read Ezra and Nehemiah, And I don't want to super spiritualize this, and I don't want to talk Christianese, but I got to tell you, very freakishly, just boom, May 31st. So much so, I wrote it down. Chip, listen to this. I had my MacBook Pro open. I had a Sharpie pen on my desk, and I grabbed my pen, and I wrote on my laptop in a black Sharpie pen, May 31st. And I went and looked it up, and it was a Sunday. And it wasn't until about a week later that one of our pastors said, did you know that's Pentecost Sunday? That's a celebration of Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead. I said, I didn't know that. Well, what happened as I just posted on a video on my Facebook, I simply said, pastors, pray about joining us in California on May 31st, opening up our doors on Sunday. But you pray about it as God leads you. I'm behind you no matter what you do or do not do. God bless you. Well, that went viral, Chip, and people signed up and signed on. And out of that came Jim Doman started the Not Asking for Permission group, and that's fantastic. I'm just telling you right now that when we put together Not Asking for Permission, when we put together the results from my Facebook post, we have over 3,000 churches in California agreeing to open up their doors on May 31st, Pentecost Sunday. Here's what's been awesome. We took the stand to do this, to respect our governor. We sent him a letter. We didn't ask for permission. I sent him a letter saying, we pray for you. We pray for your wife and your children. We love our state. We were born and raised here. But we are opening up based upon these scriptures, and we promise you we will conduct ourselves in the most sterile manner. I mean, you will be proud of us. We will be documenting this with film camera. We are going to, we've got everything and beyond, Chip, to create a safe environment, to remove any possibility of accusation. But we are going to open up on May 31st. Well, Chip, the Attorney General of the United States saw that video. And I was in a second meeting today with the Attorney General of the United States. In fact, if you keep close eye on the news tonight and Thursday and Friday, you're going to hear a statement come out from the Attorney General's office regarding churches and houses of worship in the United States. He's already begun today, breaking news, his address, open letter to Gavin Newsom, our governor. And it's going to be pretty encouraging for all of you who are believers and certainly pastors. And so it appears God has honored this, and we are going to get back to laying hands on people, praying for the sick, interceding for them, and being the church physically that the Lord's called us to be.
Hmm. Well, that's Jack Gibbs, Pastor Jack from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Also heard weekdays here on KNKT at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon, bringing us up to date on, Jack, this is spiritual warfare. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, here in New Mexico, our governor has just come out with a dictate that we aren't allowed to sing or chant in church, she said. And so that's remarkable.
All the more reason, Chip, all the more reason for you to listen carefully in the next 48 hours of what comes out of the Department of Justice, because I'm just going to tell you right now, in light of this morning's meeting, help is on its way regarding that kind of edict.
Well, thank God for that, Jack. And we're
Amen.
Thankful. We're thankful for your strong stance. And it is, in fact, spiritual warfare. And there are some amazing pressures being put on people of faith right now. And my deep concern is, yes, I'm worried about now, but this is setting a precedent.
And
if this was a one-off and never to happen again, okay, we can pivot off it and make it a 9/11 type moment where we learn from it and move on. My concern is how easily it could happen again and happen worse.
Yeah, you listen, brother. I'm so grateful for your comment just now, because I recognize that as well. God forbid, come the winter, when somebody in Albuquerque coughs in a Costco or someone sneezes at a grocery store, people's hair is going to stand up on the back of their neck because they've been brought to a place of panic. Fear has ruled our nation of late. And you know that this is true because notice the almost daily whimsical changing of what's required of us. It was first it was 3 feet, then it was 6 feet, then it was a mask, then if you have a mask, you don't have to social distance, but wait a minute, the masks don't work. What's happened? Total confusion.
Yes.
And we know that the Lord is not the author of confusion. And then I love how you framed it because it's true. It's spiritual battle because, listen, every state that holds to a particular form of government right now, there's a particular party that is very, very much against opening up business, opening up churches, and personal individual rights. There's another party. I'm not going to mention the parties. Go look and see. There's another party that's fighting for the opening of the doors and the opening of church and all of this. That battle zone, this confusion, these issues, where now the experts are debating against each other, which when two experts argue with each other about the data, which means nobody's an expert. And God forbid this fall when the flu season comes around, people are going to panic unless the church gets out ahead of this narrative and tells the people, tells our communities, reminds our communities that this love of God really cancels out all fear, that they need not fear like Psalm 91. We love to preach that psalm, but now it's us and it's ours to live. And it's a battle, but it's a great chance to preach the gospel because a lot of people are scared and they're asking questions. So this is a monumental moment.
Well, we have a couple of minutes, Jack. I'd like your response to this statement. I don't think we're over-dramatizing, overstating this position. America is a unique country. It's the primary sender of the gospel in all history. No one has ever been a bigger platform for the gospel. And I sense this country has been disoriented. And that is an act of confusion. That's an act of the enemy. And if America could be taken down and totally moved off its base of liberty and freedom, that would have a perilous impact on the gospel. Wouldn't you agree?
I am so grateful for you. Yes, sir. Think about it. I really believe, in fact, I cannot believe any other thing, Chip, than this is the hour for the pastor to arise. Early colonial America, all the old cities, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, all of those cities, they're so bizarre with the layout of the streets because they all go to a city center. There's a point in the middle of the city. What was that point historically? A church. A church. I think God wants America's watchmen, pastors, to get back up on the wall and to become the spiritual conscience of their communities and their state and nation. And I really believe that God has given us this. Chip, I'm living this in my life right now. I believe he's called me to speak up no matter what the cost, because the hour is late. Jesus could come back at any moment, and this has been an opportunity handed to us by God. Everybody's thinking about death. Everybody's thinking about freedom. Everybody's thinking about what to do next. And that's why we've seen, like you guys, incredible viewership that otherwise we'd never would have seen.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Jack, I'm grateful for your articulate and your clarity and your ability to really present the situation as it is. These are interesting times, but I'll just circle back to your initial statement. God's ahead of it all.
And
thank you for joining us today. Listen to Pastor Jack each weekday, 4:30, right here on KNKT. This has been Chip Lusko. Glad to be with you. Jim back tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.